Good evening, and thank all of you for being here on this quite cold, snowy, sleety day. I'm glad all of us made it, and I hope we all get home safe. I don't think it's going to do that much. I do want to remind us always to go to our website, www.pvchurchofchrist, and study your Bible. It'll help you in your studies. And not to show it to your neighbors, your friends. Have them to go there. Have them listen to some of the sermons. But this evening, I would like to talk to you about one of the most fundamental truths concerning the Lord that Jesus established. It has to do with the definition of the word itself. The word church in the scriptures comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which literally means called out. Putting it simply, that means that the members of the Church of Christ have been called out of something. I really believe that if folks understood this meaning of the word church, there would be a much different attitude towards it, both by those outside of the body of Christ and those who are in the body. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 6. And we'll read verses 44 and 45. John chapter 6. Verse 44 and 45. There Jesus said in verse 44 of John 6, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." This means by which God draws people to him is revealed by Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at that. The means by which God draws people to him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. Look at verse 13 and 14. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So hence, people are called by the gospel to be called out. That, by definition, is the church. We are called out. But called out from what? That's a question that I would like to spend the rest of our time this evening answering. Those who are members of the church of the Lord have been called out of sin. From the time Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, man has lived in a sinful environment. I did not say that man is born in sin, but for the Bible doesn't teach this, nor did I say man has a sinful nature, for the Bible doesn't teach that either. But it does teach that all sin, all of us sin, and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. If you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, verses 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Did you notice that the very reason for Jesus' death was to set us free from Satan's bondage? As Jesus said in John 8:31, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When the Jews to whom he was speaking responded to that statement by saying, "We are free," Jesus said, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." So friends and brethren, when a person begins to sin, they become a slave of sin. And it happens to all when they reach the age of choice. At some point and at some time, all who are accountable will choose to violate God's law. I wish you'd look with me in the Old Testament at Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, please. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I think of what Isaiah wrote over 700 years before Jesus walked on the earth in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And brethren, sin makes us slaves. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and see what Paul wrote about that. Romans chapter 6. You probably remember what Paul wrote in Romans 6 and verse 16. Paul said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So there is a condition of the sinner. He's separated from God and a slave of Satan. The only way out of that terrible state is through obedience to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Now on the first day of Pentecost, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, as we can read in Acts 2, the apostles preached the gospel complete with the terms of admission into the kingdom for the very first time. When certain of the people present at that time were convicted by the preaching, and they asked in verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" God's answer by the mouth of Peter was in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now down in verse 41, we find, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Continuing on down to verse 47, we find, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Those who were saved were added to the church by the Lord Jesus, who saved them at the same time, and that is the church of Christ, those who are called out of sin to live for Christ. And brethren and friends, those in the church have been called out of the world. Come with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. First John 2, verse 15 through 17, we read, beginning in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And according to James 1:27, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world is basic to pure religion. Paul exhorts us to come out from among them and be ye separate, he says, and to touch not the unclean thing in 2 Corinthians 6:17. And we are urged in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, you might look with me if you'd like. Romans 12 and verse 2. We're urged to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The point of the matter is that those who are in the church of Christ, don't let the world nor worldly people set the moral standard for us. God has set the standard, and even though we must live in the world, we must not be of the world. We must be, and we are, different. I'm reminded of a portion of the Lord's beautiful prayer in John chapter 17. I wish you'd come with me to John 17. John chapter 17. And we'll look at verses 14 through 16. John chapter 17. Jesus prayed beginning in verse 14. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So having been called out of the world, we live by a different standard. And I like the way Paul put it in his letter to Titus. If you come with me to Titus chapter 2, let's read it together. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, is described. He described that standard, beginning verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And brethren and friends, those who are in the Church of Christ have been called out of secretarism. Secretarism. Let me explain what I mean. When Jesus came into the world, he found the Jews fractured into many different sects. They had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and even the Essenes, and probably others. Each of them claimed to be part of Judaism. Doesn't that sound familiar to you today? All you have to do is substitute the word denomination for sect, and you have the exact situation that characterizes so-called Christendom today. That was not then, and it is not now, what Jesus intended. We were in our Lord's Prayer just a moment ago in John chapter 17. Let's go back there and notice how Jesus viewed division and what he prayed would never happen to his followers. John 17. Again, let's look at verses 20 and 21 when we get to John 17. Jesus prayed and said, he said, neither, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus prayed. He prayed that his followers would never, never be divided, but that they would be one. And Paul found a situation existing in Corinth that smacks of modern denominationalism today. And his response to it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Let's look at that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and to the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? My friends, to divide the called out into different and differing groups not only opposes the prayer of Jesus, it also violates the express command of the Lord. It is no more acceptable and right to divide the called out today than it was in Corinth over 2,000 years ago. It was wrong then, there and then, and it's wrong here and now. The admonition of Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6 rings across the ages. The problem is too many folks are just not listening. Let's go to there. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I don't understand how people can read that and understand that there's only one Lord and only one God. But then they turn right around and argue and contend that it doesn't make any difference which faith or which body you belong to. Think about it. It don't make any sense. Friends and brethren, there is only one each of these seven things. Body, spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism, and God. There's only one. We no more have the choice of churches or faith than we do of gods or lords. We are called out of this state of division. We're called out of secretarism or denominationalism, to use a little more familiar term. So let us all resolve to leave behind and simply be a part of the called out of Christ, which is His church. And a marvelous thing about this called out state is that it is available to everyone. Remember the Lord's gracious invitation in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. Let's read that together. I love this passage. Matthew 11, chapter, verses 28 through 30. Listen to His tender invitation in verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whosoever will is the great invitation of the Lord Jesus." Having been called out of sin and the world, we must remain free from those things that draw us away from the Lord. And you don't join a denomination. Just do the Lord's will, and He will add you to His church, the called out, the church of Christ. That means a new way of thinking, new intentions, and new affections. And Paul put it this way in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. I want you to look with me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 1 through 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So with our eyes set firmly on the goal, we strive to be just what the Lord would have us to be. Let us strive to be a better Christian tomorrow than we were today." What a privilege it is to be part of the called out of Christ. But I want to know, are we sincere about it? Are we really sincere? Well, the word sincere has an interesting history. It comes from two Latin words, which means without wax. Now, when a sculptor or a potter from ancient times noticed a crack in his production and wanted to hide it from the customer, he would seal those cracks with wax. And in time, the buyer would experience a loss as the pottery leaked or the statue lost its form, especially as a piece was exposed to heat. So to distinguish their work from the fraudulent, the honest dealer would post signs that read, "Without wax." It was his guarantee that the quality of his work was authentic and real. So what appeared to be a solid statue or unbroken pottery was just that, free from hidden cracks and secret flaws. How sincere, brethren, are we in our walk with God? Are we real and authentic? Are we only pretending to be godly to impress other people? How real is our faith and love of God? Paul encouraged Christians with the admonition to press on. Philippians 1:10, he said, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere," he says, "and without offense till the day of Christ." Like pottery, we can know if we are real or not by how we respond to heat. If we look for ways to give up or to quit the Christian walk whenever it gets difficult or people harass us, we can know that our faith is as solid as it should be. And in that case, we need to spend more time with our Maker and letting Him shape us and mold us in His holiness. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So how sincere are we? How sincere are we? So my friends, life is too short. Death is too sure. Eternity is too certain. Heaven is too wonderful. And hell is too hot. Today is the day of God's mercy, grace, and salvation. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have done their part to make your salvation possible. Now it's up to you. And I ask you, what is the condition of your soul? And if you're not a Christian, the condition of your soul is that you are lost eternally. You will spend eternity with the devil and his angels in hell. However, if you're not a Christian, don't panic. It's not too late. You can take care of that this very evening by submitting to the gospel of Christ, which demands that you repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. So I ask you, won't you do that this evening? Won't you submit your life to King Jesus? And if you've done those things and you've sinned in a manner that others are aware of, or if you've been missing church more than you should for no reason at all, that's a sin. You need to take care of that. And you can do that this evening by coming forward when we sing the invitation song. After you've repented to God, let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be in good standing with God and with this congregation here. Can we help anybody? Can we help anybody in any way? If we can. Brother Bill, what's the song? Washed in the Blood. Okay. Please stand as Bill leads us in this song. Washed in the Blood.